You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 5th of May 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, it's another slow news day today, so I think we will continue with what I was talking about yesterday. And I finished by talking briefly about how to be a good Christian, you need to be a good nationalist, and to be a good nationalist, you need to be a good Christian. And my logic for that is the verse in the New Testament where Jesus says, love thy neighbour as you love yourself. And that's how you show your love for God, basically. Now, the establishment church and mainstream Christianity will claim that that word neighbour there means absolutely everyone. It means whoever lives next door to you, because nowadays we have this term next door neighbour. But in actual fact, Jesus was quoting from a verse in the Old Testament. And if you look at the verse that he was quoting from in the Old Testament, it specifies what neighbor means. It means the children of your own people. So it means looking out for your own people, looking out for your own nation. The Bible tells us that the nations were created as nations. And the interbreeding between those nations is against creation, isn't it? It's against natural law. It means the confusion of the nations. It means the confusion of the blood, the mixing of peoples to create something that wasn't created as part of a nation by God. So obviously it's against the natural order. It's against the divine order. As I was pointing out yesterday, it was a capital crime. The world has degenerated since then. It couldn't be a capital crime now. I mean, we have masses of these people around now, and none of them asked to be put into that situation. The reason why it happens, I think, is mainly because people don't think about what they are actually doing. So how could we prevent this from happening today? If you had an authoritarian government, if you had an authoritarian regime, they could make it so that it was illegal. There were strict punishments for something like that. But I don't think that could happen today, because we've had the Enlightenment, we've had humanism, we've had human rights and the rise of the individual. I don't think we could go back to that. I don't think people would put up with that. But what we could do in the age that we live in today is give them the correct information. And I think if people were actually told about what the results will be of what they are doing, the physical results, spiritual results, the effect it's going to have on the child being brought up mixed race, I think that would prevent them from doing so. And obviously this is something that can be difficult to talk about, because you don't want to upset people that are mixed race. You don't want it to seem as if you are putting them down. And obviously I'm talking to a nationalist audience here. This isn't aimed at mixed race people, and the last thing I'd want to do is put them down. But the information should be out there. It should be easily accessible, and it's not. And what I mean by the information, I mean there should be statistics out there for the incidence of depression that you get amongst mixed race people, incidence of schizophrenia, incidence of just generally not being well, not being physically well. A lot of them suffer from illnesses. A lot of them have skin complaints, things like eczema, things like psoriasis. These are physical problems that they have. And then you can think about the mental problems that they're going to have when they look in the mirror and they don't look like their parents. And everybody else looks like their parents. Everybody else looks like their ancestors. They're born into a tribe that looks like them. And then you've got these poor people that are born and nobody looks like them. They're all in a tribe of their own. And then they might get ill. They might require an organ transplant. And their family are keen to provide an organ for them, but they can't accept it because their organs are totally different to even their own closest family's organs. Bone marrow transplants, for instance, for leukemia. It's very, very hard to find a donor that will actually match with bone marrow if you happen to be mixed race. And this can be very harsh on the family because they're desperate to help, but they can't. There was a meme some years back that was effectively saying that a white person that has a mixed race child has more genetically in common with the Queen of England than they do with their own child. Then you've got the way that the child is going to look to their parents, and if they are mixed race, they are going to be thinking, I could have been born white. People could be shocked at that. What a racist thing to say. But if you look at the cosmetics industry for blacks and non-whites, they have a massive cosmetics industry, which is all based around lightening the colour of their skin. Skin bleaching, skin creams. Some of them will go through plastic surgery. Look at Michael Jackson, what happened to Michael Jackson. It's a billion-dollar industry in skin whitening that you see advertised all across India, all across Africa. And these mixed-race people, they look at that and they're going to be thinking, well, I could have been born white and wouldn't have had to spend a penny on any of this. So they're not going to look too favorably upon the white parent. And that is what we see. What we see with mixed race children is that they identify with the non-white parent. And part of this, I think, is down to the non-white parent has effectively married upwards and the white parent has effectively married downwards. And this is what we're taught in the Book of the Danes, which talks about one of the princes that marries one of the common folk, and the child that is born resents the prince because the prince married down, basically. And I'm not saying that we are one race is supreme to another race, but if you're going to be brought up in a white country, then obviously, and you're non-white, and you could have had the chance to be white, could have had a chance to have the higher IQ. And the way that things are presented, the non-white person is going to look at whites and think, oh, they've got all this unearned privilege. I'm being told they've got all this unearned privilege, and I could have been born white, and I wasn't. So you've got this resentment there, and obviously they can't show that resentment because this is their parents. They love their parents. Their parents love them. So they can't even address these thoughts. So these thoughts have to be shuttered away somewhere else in their mind, in their subconscious, eating away at them, but they can't actually address them because of, you just couldn't address it, could you? So you've got that issue as well. You've got the issue that you've got effectively two races within one person, and you can't serve, a dog can't serve two masters. That's a very old proverb, one dog can't serve two masters, and yet you've got one body there with effectively two different races in it, two different racial souls. If we look at the animal world, if we look at the dog world in particular with dog breeds, when you mix different breeds together and you end up with a mongrel type dog, the dog is unpredictable. It doesn't have the abilities that it should have of either of its parents. There have been experiments where they mixed one type of bird with another type of bird very, very closely. It was the same subspecies of bird that they used, and they mixed them together. And the birds that were born were unable to build proper nests. They couldn't get the nest building quite right, because instead of being born with the instincts of one particular type, they were born with jumbled up instincts from two different types. So I think if if the general public were taught these things, then they would be making a far more informed decision when they entered into these mixed race relationships. And that's just talking about the effects that it could have on the child. This is before you even get into the statistics for violence that occurs in mixed race relationships. How many more times likely you are to be killed by your partner if you're married to a black partner, say. And that's not just to say it's in a mixed race relationship. I mean, if you happen to be a black female, you're far more likely to be murdered by a black husband than a white female is to be murdered by her white husband. But when you have these mixed races together in a relationship where they have two different cultures, a lot of the time it is just setting the couple up for a stressful situation. And Twitter and Gab are full of pictures of white women that have been thumped by their black boyfriends, basically. Sadly, it's just something that is quite common. And again, that is not publicized. The statistics for that are very hard to find. When you read about it in the newspapers, they don't tend to tell you that the woman that was beaten up or the woman that was had acid thrown in her face, that she was white and the boyfriend was black. A lot of the time, they won't show you the victim, or if they do show you the victim, they won't show you the face of the person that actually carried it out. So I think that if we were actually to make this information available, that would be a big help. That would fit in with the world that we are in today, the world of the individual and the human rights of the individual. You could just make this information available. And something that says to me that this is what would actually solve the problem is the fact that through the race speech laws, through the Public Order Act and all these attempts to clamp down on free speech, that what they are trying to do is prevent people from talking about things like this. The people that are pushing it, the people that are pushing the advertisements that show blacks and whites living together, that show the soap operas showing the same, and in the movies and in the advertisements on the billboardings, these people that push this idea, they are the same people that call for censorship of people like myself and other nationalists that draw attention to these things that are trying to put right the mess that we've made of the world. And the fact that they are calling for the censorship of us talking about these sort of subjects kind of says that if people were to hear about these sort of subjects, then they might not be so keen to indulge in race mixing. And it's the same with homosexuality. Okay, we talked about yesterday about how homosexuality, it used to be a capital crime. It was a capital crime in the Old Testament. It was a capital crime in pre-Christian times in Europe. We read about how they would be thrown into the bog to drown, basically. And we've found evidence of people that have been thrown in the bog to drown, that have had males that have had excessive hair gels and feminine things about them, which tends to confirm these reports from Roman times that's what would happen outside the Roman Empire. Homosexuals would be thrown in the bog. We can't do that now. We can't execute them now. We can't throw them in the bog. The world has moved on since then. We've changed our attitudes to it. Again, we've got this rise of the individual, the rise of humanism. People are being encouraged to not think about the effect of what they do, what that has on society, to just see the world as just being there for them to take what they want from it, rather than the world being there for you to do your duty, to show your gratitude to your ancestors for everything that they provided. And again, I think if people were to be told the truth about the damage that homosexuality causes, the physical damage, the disease, the increased rate of child abuse, the suicide rate, the unhappiness, the fact they can't produce children. If this was taught to people, if we were encouraged to talk about this rather than encouraged to see it as hate speech, then people wouldn't be so happy about it being taught to children as being a positive thing, Or they would say, well, at least they're being given a balanced view on this. At least they're being told that everything in the garden isn't rosy when the child has two fathers, say, for instance. If people were also taught about the instances of child abuse that go on with two fathers, that would be a help. There was a particularly horrific case that went on in Australia, and the two homosexuals that adopted this child, they were poster boys for gay marriage. They had lots of promotion, and in actual fact, they were taking this small boy around Asia and prostituting him out at about the age of two or three, I think it was. Absolutely horrific. What they could do is they could do surveys of the children that have been brought up in homosexual relationships. A lot of them say that they have had very, very messed up lives because of it. That could be taught to people. I think just giving the information out and making the information available to the general public would prevent so much of the problems that we have today. It would halt this agenda, this anti-white, anti-natural agenda. It's the same with the transgender movement and the way that they're trying to push that onto children. And the children aren't being given the full story, and they're being taught this at an age where they don't have the critical faculties that we have as an adult. I mean, it's tragic to see small children that are promoting gay pride that have been taught to do this in school, and you know that they haven't actually been taught what homosexuality is, and if they were taught exactly what homosexuality is, they'd be absolutely horrified to be hearing about that sort of thing. And in some schools in California, they are teaching them that sort of thing. And it must be really shocking for a child to hear that. In actual fact, I've seen images on the television where they've been given these sort of sex education lessons to children. And you can see the confused looks on their faces because they know that parents are the ones that look after them. Teachers are the ones that look after them. They look up to the grown-ups to tell them the truth about things, and they know that something isn't right in what they are being told. They know that the idea of having their pee-pee cut off would be horrific to them. So they know that what they're being taught is wrong. So just if we were able to tell the other side of the story, I think that would be a big help. Because we can't go back in time, as much as we would like to. I mean, Adolf Hitler was known as the man against time because he was trying to stop this progression of immorality. But we can't actually go backwards in time. We have to adapt what we do and what we say to the way that the world is today. Part of that is talking about Islamic crimes. If you're in a political party and you talk about Islamic crimes, you are far more likely to actually get somewhere politically than if you were to be talking about Jewish crimes. And of course, there are crimes that are carried out by all different races, including whites. But in particular, if you were to start talking about things that certain Jews have done to advance the causes of Jewry, then you would be censored today if you were a politician. But if you were to talk about Muslims in particular, then you won't be. And that, again, is because of this progression. And I dare say in 10 years' time, it's going to be even more difficult, even for politicians, to talk about crimes against us that have been carried out by Muslims. Because this is continually going towards preventing people from speaking the truth. It's continually moving further and further away from the truth. If you think of the world as a perfect beginning, perfect truth, and ever since then, there's been more and more lies, it's been growing further and further away from this perfect beginning. And the truth is a part of that. And biological truth, natural truth, is the world in the way that it was created by God in its original species, non-genetically modified. If we look at the end results of of all of this mixing up together of the races, what we see happening around us right now with this coronavirus is the end result of that. And mixing the peoples together and having this globalist world. I mean, what we should really have is, separate worlds. Well, the world of white people, the world of black people, the world of Chinese people. And obviously we could have people that could travel to our countries, but they shouldn't be able to move into somebody else's country, somebody else's nation, and own businesses there and start taking things over there. Eventually you would end up with a totally blended human race with no ability to create civilization, with everywhere looking the same. And the natural plan, God's natural plan, would be thwarted. The natural plan for the different peoples and the different races to grow in the direction that is natural to them, because each of the races have got different abilities, different talents. We build different habitats. Eskimos build igloos. Africans build mud huts. We build cathedrals and skyscrapers. And that is just the way things are, and people should be left to grow in the way that is natural to them. When we interfere with that, when we interfere and artificially advance a people like we have done in Africa, we end up with the situation that we now have in Africa, where some countries in Africa, 60% of the population are under the age of 30. And they don't have the ability to feed themselves. Food aid is continually going from the West to Africa. We continually see adverts on the television telling us that we need to provide water for them. They can't, some of them can't even provide water for themselves, and yet they are still breeding 8 to 10 of them to a family. Now, 100 years ago, when they were breeding 8 to 10 to a family, a large portion of those would die off due to famine, due to malaria, due to disease. And this is just the way that the African has developed to keep his society going. He would produce lots and lots of children, and a large portion of them would die. And their numbers were kept within a reasonable range that they could actually provide for themselves. So they didn't need help from the outside. They could provide for themselves. Now we've given them medicine, we've given them technology, we've artificially increased their birth rate to such a huge amount that they're now unable to provide for themselves and desperately come to Europe, desperate to find resources to feed themselves and keep a roof over their head, because they can't provide enough for themselves in Africa. They can't actually do that for themselves with the number of people that they've got within their countries. And the more we try to raise up those countries, the more we advance them, the more we give them technological advancements and invest in businesses over there, the more they want to come to Europe. It doesn't prevent them wanting to come to Europe. The countries that have had the most investment, that are the most advanced in Africa, are the countries that have the highest portion of Africans that wish to come to Europe. So interfering in these countries hasn't helped them. It hasn't helped them at all. And you have to be cruel to be kind in some instances. It's like when they try to get into Europe and they'll come across the channel in one of those dinghies. And if we were to treat them as an invading army, and if one of those dinghies were to be sunk on sight, they would stop coming. It would only take one or two dinghies to be sunk on site, and they would stop trying to make their way into Europe. There would be no more deaths at sea. I mean, you think how many hundreds of them have died at sea, and you would only need to sink a couple of dinghies, so it would be, 40 or 50 of them that drowned. Nobody else would try and make that journey, because they would know that if they did, there was a much more certain chance that they would sink. And if they also knew that if they got to Europe, they wouldn't get any help, they would just be sent back, then they wouldn't be trying to do what they are doing. And if we didn't give them the technological advancement, if we hadn't interfered with everything, then they would be at reasonable numbers. The situation is now that because we have interfered, it then becomes our responsibility in a way. And we have to try and help them out in some way, not by allowing them into Europe. But the very fact that we did interfere and we did give them medicine and technology and all the rest of it, it means that what happened since then is our responsibility. And this is why I say we don't blame immigrants. We don't blame Jews here. We blame ourselves here. If you're going to accept and take pride in the great accomplishments of our ancestors, then you'll also have to accept the responsibility for the things that they did which have harmed us. You can't pick and choose with these things. You have to just accept the good with the bad. And that was one of the bad things that we did, was to interfere in these countries. And we are now paying for the results of that. We did lots of good things for them. What we saw as good things, bringing them civilization, bringing them telecommunications. But all it's done is cause this overbreeding. They can't feed for themselves. And also they resent us. They resent us. When they come to our countries, they resent us for doing that and for thinking that we are the same as them. They know we are not the same as them. And it's an insult, really, to say that we are. It's an insult to God and to nature to claim that we actually are, because they know that we're not. They know that we're not. And we see these accusations of racism and all the rest of it, and our people don't understand why they're being accused of these things when they're not racist, and they're desperately trying to help out these non-whites and calling for refugees to be welcome. But that's not natural, is it? And I think these blacks can see that isn't natural. It's a similar thing with the Jews as well. I pointed that out the other day on Real Britannia, that we can't blame the Jews for our problems either, because we were the ones who invited the Jews in Britain. We invited the Jews in. We were the ones that gave them civil rights. We were the ones that gave them the ability to get into Parliament and start making laws. It was our representatives that did that. So we have to accept the responsibility of that. We can point out that Jews act in their own best interests. They act in their group interests. And again, this is a subject that nationalists will talk about, because it does need to be talked about. We can't have groups and individuals in our societies that are beyond criticism. And once you identify these things, once you identify what's going on there, then you can avoid it and you can prevent yourself from falling for the temptation. I mean, from a spiritual side of things, you can see that Jews put temptations before us. They tempt us with pornography. They tempt us with credit cards. They tempt us with Hollywood. They tempt us with gangster rap, alcohol. They used to run the alcohol trade, all these things that they tempt us with. And we prove our virtue by resisting them. If we didn't have these people there tempting us with these things, what would be our purpose? We wouldn't have a purpose. We wouldn't be able to show that we have virtue, that there is a reason for us to be here. There is a reason for us that we were created. And by proving that we have virtue, we improve our characters, we improve ourselves, we become better people. And as we become better individuals, our race improves as a whole. You have to have this struggle. There is a struggle throughout the natural world, and the fittest survive. And there's a spiritual struggle as well. And we want to be spiritually fit. We want to be physically fit. We want to be mentally fit. We have to do that as individuals. And we also have to do that as a nation. And to keep the nation physically fit, we have to encourage the breeding within our own. And we have to encourage the breeding of our best. And of course, we don't do that today. We promote dysgenics by removing benefits for people that are married, by encouraging benefits for single mothers, And people get into a trap where the only way they can earn enough money to live is through the benefit system. And that is totally dysgenic. Again, it's the way that the world has degenerated from this perfect start. And we have to find ways of adapting to that. We have to find ways of reaching our people and speaking out to them. But just making that information available is one of the best ways that we can resist against this drive to replace us, this drive to degenerate us. The best way to fight against it is with information, and that's why the people pushing it, their main way of fighting against it is to call for censorship and call for laws to curtail our free speech. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.